Thank you, Jeff. It's an honor to be able to speak. I'm thankful for the leadership, for Pastor Jeff, and for the elders to encourage and desire for to train up the youth to and use it as an opportunity to encourage everybody. So thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we come to you, we come desiring that you'd speak to us, that you would show up. Lord, there's so many different distractions and thoughts and feelings, and we're all in different places. But we believe and we know that you can move among us, and we believe and know that you can touch each and every one of our hearts. Lord, humble us and convict us. Help us to be obedient. In Jesus' name. So there's five types of churchgoers that I see. There might be a couple more, but for simplicity's sake. We have the prisoner. Now, the prisoner is somebody often you see in kids where you go because you have to. Sometimes you see it in a spouse, or sometimes even for us, when church becomes a routine, it becomes habit, where you feel guilty if you don't go on Sunday. You really don't want to be there. You're not really coming to take something away. You're coming because, it's Sunday, I got to go. Then we got the vacationer. There's somebody whose life is hectic. It's stressful, whether it be through their job, through family, circumstances outside of that, that they come here to get away. They don't want to deal with anything. They don't really want to. They just want to rest. And although that's not a bad place, necessarily, one of the weaknesses is if you come and you say, Lord, I'm in my comfort zone. I just want to be comfortable here. I don't want you to convict me. I don't want you to challenge me. I just want to just kind of be. Then we got the graduate. You guys might know this person. Maybe it's you, or maybe you at least know me. It's somebody who often struggles with thinking they know it all. They've heard a lot. They studied a lot. And one of the tendencies is to critique the worship time, critique the speeching, the introduction, how long it was. Well, I don't think the Greek says that. And one of the weaknesses, you can't get out of your own way. You keep talking so much, and you're not really here, Lord, you have something for me. What do you have? You keep talking to yourself. Then the fourth one is the distracted one. Probably the most relatable for us is we just live busy lives. We live lives that are filled from Monday to Monday. We have things that we have to do, so we're sitting here and we're grocery planning, we're doing our to-do list, we're thinking about the sports game at the end of the day, we're thinking about who's going to visit and how it's going to happen today. And rather than coming with an expectancy that the Lord desires to speak with us, we kind of get away with missing it. But the cool thing about this is that each and every one of us, regardless of how we entered into the building today, regardless of where you're at, even in the pews right now, we have an ability to go and choose to be a disciple. It's somebody that desires to learn. It's somebody that's desiring to be challenged. And more importantly, there's an emphasis on obedience. So it's not a rhetorical question. Will you, wherever you're at, whatever distractions, whatever feelings, whatever stresses are going on, would you choose to lay that down and to say, Lord, I want to be not just present in body, I want to be present in my mind, and present in my spirit. I want to be here. There's something you have for me. I want to be here. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
So relationship is something that you've probably heard talked about, especially if you've been at church for most of your life. One of my concerns is a word like relationship, similar to a word like discipleship. When it becomes a buzzword, it's a word that circles around different communities, maybe 5, 10, 15 years, and people talk about it. But when you really ask someone, well, what does a relationship look like? Or what does discipleship look like in your life? It's often met with pause. Uncertainty. We all claim to believe in it, and that is important. We say Christianity isn't religion, it's relationship. But there's a depth that we're missing for some of us in understanding and for others in practice of what it really looks like. And I think it's important that when we talk about relationship, we understand where it started. We love because he first loved us. It's a verse that many of us memorized when we were younger, which is important because the reality is the ability, the fact that we can't even choose to relate to God was not in our own origination. It started before that. Small. So first, it started with eternity past in the Godhead. Our triune God, that there's many things that we don't understand. But one thing that is clear is that there was, before creation, there was a relationship, there was love, and there was submission all in this beautiful God. And God, in his infinite wisdom and mercy, chose to create us. And there's something unique about us, different than any of the other creation, was that he created us with an ability, in his image, with an ability to relate, not just to each other, but to him. So God set the precedent in and of himself, created creation to reflect that, to be able to experience and relate with God. But then man, as man does time and time again, chose to worship the creation rather than the Creator. Man chose to worship the creation rather than the Creator, and thereby suppressing the truth. And so sin entered the world. We were plummeted into darkness. There was a separation that happened. But to further emphasize the fact that God has created us for relationship is the fact that he didn't choose to destroy us right then and there. Because if he didn't value the relationship, then why wouldn't he have? But before creation, he had a plan to restore relationship, to receive glory, to show mercy upon his creation, and to bring them back into relationship. And so the Word of God took on flesh and made his dwelling among us. Being fully God and fully man, he took the debt, he paid the debt that we owed with his life for a purpose to restore relationship, because that's what was broken. That's why he didn't destroy us. He chose to pursue us in relationship. And there's something that happened, and on the cross, when he was hanging there, he said, "It is finished." Something else took place at that moment. The curtain tore. It tore in two, symbolizing the old covenant was fulfilled and is done, and the new covenant is now begun. That at the time in the Old Testament, when believers, when followers of God wanted to be present with God, there was a barrier. But now, the curtain was torn, symbolizing that we can experience God. I want to fast forward through the present to the end. When Jesus comes in victory, there's something that's going to happen. In the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When he comes in victory and in judgment, there will be those who have chose to surrender, chose to acknowledge who they are, and chose to realize that they needed a Savior. They put their trust in Christ, and they will live in victory, in relationship. And there seems to be a misunderstanding sometimes when we talk about an evangelistic gospel message, where we talk about hell as a get-out-of-hell-free card. And I believe that we miss the point. Now, for many, it's more tangible to say, well, hell is, it's dark, and there's despair, and there's pain, and there's agony. But the reality is, the way it started and the way it ends, the reality is there's going to be an absence of the presence of God. The very thing that I even have a hard time understanding what that is like. And so I resort to saying, oh, well, I'd rather not go to hell. But you're missing the point. So when, in the end, when we are glorified with him, we will be in a relationship for eternity with our Creator, the way it once was. So going back to the present, if from the beginning to the end, relationship was important for him, then I believe that it is also important for us. And I believe that it goes further than simply doing a few tasks like reading your Bible and praying and checking off a to-do list. I believe that there's a relationship that God desires to have with us, and it's tangible. There's some obstacles to hearing or experiencing God. For many of us, there's fear. It's too subjective. Is it, you know, I want to hear from you, God, but I don't know, is that my voice? Is it a lie? Is it the enemy? Is it my flesh? Or is it God? And so personally we have that fear, and corporately we have that fear because it's scary. Well, what if I can't control it? How do I know? So there's fear there. There's doubt. Well, does God really speak today? I hear examples of it, but does he really? Does he speak to me? I mean, I never heard anything. Can I hear it? Or we go down the route of maybe that's just a coincidence. We pray to the Lord and we ask that he answers. And then when he does answer, we say, oh, well, coincidence. Maybe it wasn't God. And we're afraid to give credit to God of when he is moving. Then we got past experience. For some, it's more real and tangible than others, or traumatic than others. But most of us have some sort of past experience, either one that we personally experienced or something that we heard. Of when somebody says, I heard from the Lord, that pushes us away from wanting to pursue that. And there were people that did things in their own pride and their own strength that were wrong, that have sinned. But my hope is that we don't allow fear and doubt and past experiences to stifle a tangible relationship that the Lord has made a way for his believers to experience now and in the future. And I don't have all the answers, but what I do know and what I do believe is that we as a body need to be pursuing it together. Another thing is when we talk about hearing God, if somebody were to say, you know, have you heard from God recently? One of the first reactions is, well, I didn't hear an audible voice. And it saddens me. I feel it's so tragic that all these four things have put us so far from even desiring, let alone experiencing him and seeking to experience him and see what that looks like. When you talk about maintaining a relationship with God, so you get past some of the fears and the doubts, and you say, well, it seems clear that the Lord wants it, so I would want that as well. I don't really know where to navigate, but I'm willing. There's something that you're going to have to understand, and that's you need to understand that there's a seriousness of sin. And in the same way that sin was the very thing that separated us from relationship with God in the beginning, though it doesn't separate us salvifically anymore as believers, it does hinder our relationship from God or with God. Don't expect to live your life in your own flesh and say, oh, Lord, I want to hear from you. It doesn't work that way. You can't serve two masters, both money and God, both the world and God, both your flesh and God. You have to choose. The encouraging part is it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. and we get to do it together. We get to learn together. We get to run together. We see there's a lot of kids, and we understand these terms of growth, that you don't start mature, you grow into it and you learn. But sometimes when we talk about some of these abstract, a little more abstract things, we look at some of the men and women that we respect that are many years into walking with the Lord and say, well, I want a relationship like they have. And we almost, we don't desire to take the little steps of faith that the Lord is putting in our life and to obey in the small, and he'll give us more. We want this. It doesn't work like that. So it's a daily journey of surrender and submission that you'll slowly become more and more equipped and experience the Lord in a powerful way. And then this final thing is obedience. You want to have a relationship with the Lord, you better learn how to obey. When Jesus commanded, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Obedience is a vital part of everything Jesus talked about, but it's the hardest part. It was easy for me to say, Lord, I put my trust in you. It's hard for me to daily say, I'm going to continue to put my trust in you. Another thing with hearing, say that he does show up. Say that he does communicate something to you, and you don't do it. Lord, I want to hear from you. And he says, you know, go share with that person. Go take that idol that's in your life and get rid of it. Repent of that sin. Oh, no. If you know what you ought to do and you don't do it, that's sin. And guess what? Seriousness of sin, separation from relationship. It's a cycle. So if you want to hear from the Lord, you want to experience the Lord, you want to grow deeper, be aware that there's a cost to it. Dying to yourself is not just an idea, there's a reality. But I promise that it is worth it. And as you begin to pursue the Lord and you desire that, we will, as a church, continue to see more fruit in our lives, in our hearts, in the lives around us. So we're going to do something a little bit different right now. Rather than merely talking about experiencing God, rather than just talking about having a relationship with God, there's a few things that are important, and so we figured let's practice it. So in your, does everybody have a bulletin? If you don't have a bulletin, would you raise your hand? We're all out? Okay, if you don't have a bulletin, you get the honor and privilege to write on your next person's paper or grab a piece of paper. Here are the questions. And it's an exercise that's helpful. It's something that you can do in your own time. First thing that I want you to do, in the top right, it should say names. Oh, it's on the right side of the bifold. Yeah. So it says names. What I want you to do is I want you to write down two names, non-spouse, that you're close with, either in this church, somebody that you've been doing life with, somebody that can hold you accountable. The reason I said no spouse is because I expect you to share with your spouse what the Lord is doing with you. All right, and now it might be a little difficult. You might actually have to move, but I want you to stick out your elbows. If you're touching somebody, slide over a little bit. And Ralph, can you dim the lights a little bit? All right, so first question, what is the Lord speaking to you? So when trying to understand, Lord, I want to hear from you, And we believe that if you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. And it might look different. Every day it might look different. Sometimes you might have a big experience. Sometimes it might be a small experience. But the reality is if the Lord is speaking to you, you want to answer. So the first question to think through is, where are you now? Is there sin? Are there idols? Are there lies that you're believing that are preventing you from a deeper relationship with the Lord? The second thing is, where does God want you to be? This could be in a year, this could be today. It could be an action step. It could be doing something, or it could just be being something. And then third, what's in the way? What is preventing you from getting there? Is it the enemy? Is it laziness? Is it a relationship? Is it your flesh? And finally, what do you need to get there? Courage, strength, a brotherhood, accountability, the Lord to touch your life, a miracle. What do you need to get there? So what we're going to do is we're going to have some time. David and Simon are going to lead us in worship. You don't need to focus. You don't need to sing on that. Lord, we ask that you speak. Lord, we ask that you guide. Holy Spirit, would you shine your light of conviction into the darkest parts of our heart and the darkest places of the closet, of the places that we said that we wouldn't go, because we know that when we are set free from the chains that are binding us, we weren't created to live in bondage. Holy Spirit, would you show us if there's a place in our life that we are holding back from you, hoping to not be brought up? Would you bring it up, Lord? Would you show us if there's an action step that we need to take? Where do you want us to be? In Jesus' name. So use this time. So if you have a thought, don't be so worried. Well, is it the Lord? Is it me? It's almost irrelevant at this point. Write it down. If you have a thought, you feel some sort of conviction, write it down.